Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome everyone to another edition of the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, RF, Mr. Rodney Fisher, Mr. Sports, Mr. Do-It-All, Mr. Jack of All Trades back. And I know it's been such a long time. So many things to talk about, but we had to get into it, man. NBA free agency is upon us. The Mavs are trying to retool their roster. And we're going to get into a little bit more and really going to be a more of an opinionated podcast, man. Y'all know how I like to talk. I like to get my opinions on things. So it's going to be one of those days, man. First and foremost, happy 4th of July to everyone. Happy Independence Day. I hope everybody's having a good time with their family. And let me just explain a little bit about the hiatus, man. We've been really working on quite a few different things on our own. You know, we would definitely very much a part of this podcasting space for a long time. So I want to first and foremost thank everyone that listens to our podcast, man. We have surpassed over 1 million listeners, man, in the time that we've been doing this. I just want to just say thank you to everybody. Everybody that listened to us from the last 10 years, that 10 years plus, actually, that we've been doing this. You know, the interviews that we've done, the guests that we've had, I want to thank you guys all for doing that. And hopefully now with this new chapter, this new thing we're working on, we can get you guys back as listeners. So if you're listening for the first time, welcome. If you're a longtime listener for the last 10 plus years, make sure you share and like this, of course, and tell a friend and tell a friend and tell a friend so you guys can get right back involved what we're doing here at RF Sports Radio. So let's jump right into it, man. It's going to be me, myself today. No Royce today, but we're going to jump right into free agency, man. And let's just say a lot of guys got paid. So we're going to focus on the guys that got paid, the big guys, some opinions I have about some of the guys that got paid, some moves that were made. And I definitely want to touch on the wild, wild west as it is right now, as I like to call it, and also what the Mavs have done first. Let's jump right into let's start with the Wild Wild West, first of all, man. We're not going to go into a list of things. If you guys want to join the show, make sure you call in 516-387-1673. You guys can call in, ask questions, and we have an open and honest conversation, at least opinionated conversation, let's just say that. Let's talk about the Wild Wild West first, man, and a couple of things I want to talk about here in free agency and the moves that they've made. First and foremost, I want to talk about the Golden State Warriors. You know, I always commend teams that bring guys back, kind of keep the core of the team. If y'all remember back in 2011 when the Mavs won the championship and they broke that team up afterwards, I was so pissed because one thing that a champion deserves is a chance to repeat as a champion. That was the first team I've ever seen not try to run it back with the players that they had. And for the Golden State Warriors, a team that's been to, won four titles over the last 9 years. I would call them a dynasty. I think you guys would as well. But then to bring back Draymond Green and get rid of Jordan Poole tells me a lot about just the franchise in general. Even though they're with a brand new GM, they still keep their core base, their core culture in Golden State by running that team back, no matter what it's going to cost in terms of salary. That should be talked about more in sports. I mean, they're going to have the largest, when it comes to the luxury tax and the way the new CBA is, they're going to be paying more than any other team out there in the league. I've seen estimates where their luxury tax could be as high as 200-something million. That's even more than what the team roster is currently right now. But they have a commitment to a certain style of play. They have a commitment to their coach. They have a commitment to their fans to put the best team on the floor. And so I think it's something should be said at the top of the show in particular about what they did in bringing them back. Now, this whole thing with Chris Paul, I don't know how that's going to work. You know what I mean? Number one, Chris Paul, what I'm questioning is, will Chris Paul come off the bench? Will he finally be relegated to a role where he does not start and comes off the bench? That remains to be seen. Now, this, to me, is Chris's, well, it's his best chance to win a title. You know, I think he's got a better chance with Golden State. Call me crazy. A better chance at this point in his career with Golden State to win a title than he even does staying in Phoenix. For whatever reason, Phoenix just didn't work out, no matter how good they were. It was kind of like just, I know he's had an injury history in the playoffs. I know he's missed some key moments. You know, he's had some game sevens where he didn't play. But it just didn't work out. The energy just was kind of thrown off in Phoenix. As strong as a character he is, as much of a leader that he is, he could not get that team culture together for whatever reason. So I think this is a fresh start for him, a way that he can really sit back and at the end of his career, close to the end of his career, play a backseat, didn't have to be a floor general all the time. But when he's out there, he can take command. So I think it's going to be a good look, man. Honestly, I'm in the opinion of, I think it's to work. Now, the caveat to that is, we'll talk about this with Dame Lillard. Let's see if Chris Paul actually stays with Golden State, because I have a feeling that they may be looking at some hometown help with Dame Lillard, but we'll get back into that. Let me also talk about the Phoenix Suns a little bit too. So Phoenix, of course, the big trade for Bradley Beal. So now they've got their big three, Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker. And if you want to throw DeAndre Ayton in there as a four, fine. Their problem, though, is still the same problem that they had last year, and that's depth. They've got nobody coming off the bench. And again, you can score a lot of points. That's fine. But you also have to play defense as well. And you can't tire guys out. So the key for me for Phoenix will be, and Frank Vogel to figure out, how do you manage these guys' time and minutes throughout the season? Because, to be quite honest, to me, they just ran out of gas against Denver in their series. They played Denver the toughest. They won two games, but they just ran out of gas. You know, Durant and Booker had to do so much on their team for that team to really be successful that they ran out of gas. So I'm interested to see how they're going to manage the minutes of those three guys. You know, Bradley Beal only played, 36 games last year. He has an injury history as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how they really, really hone in on the minutes for these guys, because I can see right now them having a great start to the regular season. But once we get around the All-Star break, I can see them having to look elsewhere for some type of help, whether it be coming off the bench. They need a sixth man. They need a backup point guard. I mean, they need a lot of different things. So I don't really think they addressed the key issue. This is very much a splash kind of move. I mean, you got a brand new owner trying to come in, trying to get people, you know, to pay more for tickets, trying to raise some money or make some money. So that's the one thing I think that's kind of different with them. You know what I mean? It's really that part. You know, if you look at the other teams that were in the playoffs this year, they all made little tweaks and little improvements. A lot of the guys want to run it back. I mean, Denver's going to run it back. They did lose Bruce Brown. But, again, I can't blame Bruce Brown for going to the Pacers and getting paid. But everybody's trying to run it back, man. And I don't know if anybody in the West has done anything, in my opinion, to really put them on a level of a Denver Nuggets, only because the Nuggets have so much continuity, have played with together so long that I don't know if anybody's really done enough to kind of supersede them. Now I want to talk a little bit about the Clippers as we stay in the Western Conference here. Again, give us a call, 516-387-1673. When it comes to the Clippers, man, to give Russ a sign, a deal like he did, a two-year, a little less than $8 million deal, That's humbling, you know. It's definitely humbling from a guy that was top 75 player, Hall of Famer, still considered to be, you know, not too old. He's not in his 40s, you know. He's not that old of a player. But to see him going from making, what, $60 million last year to now 2 years and under $8 million, it's an interesting deal. Now, he's got a player option for his second year, but I'm kind of wondering, you know, what is this? He obviously wants to stay in L.A., you know, because he could have easily got more money somewhere else. At least I feel like he could have. But he wanted to stay in L.A. So this is more of a move in hopes of comfort kind of move. Didn't want to leave L.A. Even when he left the Lakers, he didn't want to leave Los Angeles. So I think the Clippers got a good deal with them. I'm surprised they did that. The other thing I'm really surprised about is they did not trade Paul George or Kawhi Leonard. Now, I know what the market was for those guys. It's interesting, man. If you look at, you know, overall the arching theme, you know, I was going to talk about this a little bit later, but let's talk about it now. The overall arching theme I saw in free agency was that guys had to be humble. You know, I mean, guys that were, it's almost like a changing of the guard, if you will. These guys that we have known to grow and love, the big superstars of the league, the shoe deal guys, the advertising guys, the commercial guys, you didn't see those big names and lights and getting these big deals. So we're obviously seeing a big transition in the league for sure. And I think this is something that the owners have discussed, have talked about. Obviously, the new CBA works in that favor. But, yeah, it's definitely a changing of the guard. I mean, let's jump right into it. The $200 million guys, all right? Desmond Bane, Domantas Sabonis, Tyrese Halliburton, all right? All three of those guys, we just started seeing them really, well, outside of Halliburton, we just started seeing them in the playoffs like this year. You know, these have been regular season guys, guys that have always brought it every single time in the league, every game, deserving of the contract. But let's face it, these are not shoe deal guys. These guys don't have the shoes. These guys don't have a lot of commercials. But if you look over the landscape, these are $200 million guys. The Sabonis, Desmond Bane, Tyrese Halliburton. The average person has no idea who these people are. And for those guys to secure these $200 million contracts, that's a huge, huge deal. And it's to put a lot of guys on notice. You know, star power in this new CBA doesn't mean much. You know, you look what Chris Paul was traded for. You look what Bradley Beal was traded for, what Kristaps Porzingis was traded for. The superstar caliber thing, the superstar status that the league has really grown into, this new CBA has changed that completely, right? It's not no longer going to be about, you know, who's got the star power outside the league. Now you're going to have to really focus on building a team that works together, guys that really buy in to a concept. And that's going to be a change. It's going to be a change. We're going to see it little by little, but that's going to be a change. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Houston Rockets. And we'll get into a little bit of Dame Lillard, James Harden, what I think is going to happen. And then we'll wrap up with the Mavs. We'll be right back, RF Sports Radio. Welcome back, guys, to another edition of RF Sports Radio. Make sure you guys follow us on YouTube at RF Sports Radio. Also follow the website, rfsportsradio.com. And again, if you want to get a call in, go for it. 516-387-1673. All right, guys, let's jump back into it, man. Let's talk about the Houston Rockets and what the Rockets did. Now, you talk about a busy offseason. They totally revamped. You know, they have a new coach in Ime Udoka, a guy who's been proven, a guy that made it to the finals, cut short there in Boston, but now is in Houston. I've heard different things on why he took the Houston job. Not only was it a money grab, but it also prevents him from some litigation with the Celtics. So either way, he got a job in Houston. Houston, we know, is a great sports city, clutch city. And then they get their point guard in Fred VanVleet, who they pay big for. They also play big for Dylan Brooks, a guy who became the Darth Vader of the league last year with LeBron. 4 years, $80 million. Congrats to him. And then they also bring in Jock Landale. You know, guys, and the thing about the Rockets, I like what they did, is they brought in guys that have been in the league, have a understanding for what it takes to win. They brought these guys in to really focus and work with some of these younger players. You know, I like what they did. Now, can they be a playoff team? Absolutely. With Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, the young talent that they have, they could be a playoff team. That could be the team that surprises a lot of people in that 8, 9, 10 spot. Easily could get there. I see the Spurs as perhaps doing the same thing too. But they could easily get to that 8, 9, 10 spot, I think, you know, without a problem with the moves that they made. Fred VanVleet, try saying that 20 times in a row, is a proven winner. A guy that's worked his way up, undrafted, worked his way onto a starting lineup or six-man role on a championship Toronto Raptors team, became the starter when Kyle Lowry left, and now he's going to have his own franchise. I mean, you talk about a guy that came up through the ranks, did what he had to do, played the way he's supposed to play. That's a shining example for guys to look at. It's Fred VanVleet. I mean, he did it the right way, and now he's got a franchise of his own in Houston, a team that's going to be behind him, a chance to kind of dictate what happens on the team. So my hats off to him for what he did, for sure. And the Rockets, I think, are going to be a team that really, to me, did a fantastic job in free agency. I think they won free agency. I think the Lakers did a good job in free agency. And on the East, we're going to focus on the East on the next episode. But on the West, man, it's going to be jumbled up like it was last year. I mean, quite honestly. I mean, there's going to be a lot of teams kind of right there in position to go for it, for sure. So before we go, I want to touch on a couple of things. Dame Lillard, James Harden. Of course, Dame Lillard requesting a trade from Portland. James Harden requesting a trade from Philadelphia. If you had to pick between the two, who would you rather have? Would you rather have James Harden? Would you rather have Dame Lillard? Now, the consensus answer I see out there is everybody saying, oh, I'd rather have Dame. Dame time, Dame time. I admit Dame's a great player, right? James has more experience in bigger games. If you look at James Harden's career, he's been in the playoffs more. He's been deeper in the playoffs. We know Lillard had that one season where they went to the Western Conference Finals. But James has played in bigger games. And people will say, well, Dame wants to win. Dame wants to win. And James is more of a off-the-court party kind of guy. Well, let's think about that for a second. Does Dame really want to win? You think his 11 years in Portland when he had so many chances to get out of Portland, get on a winning team? Now he's made that decision, but that always was a question for me. Why would you stay in Portland with this team that obviously doesn't want to build around you? Portland never tried to build around Dame Lillard. Never. Give me an example of when they ever tried to build around Dame Lillard. Give me an example when Dame ever was mandating that they do something now so they can win. I mean, he stayed in Portland way too long to me, way too long. There was always something about Dame that I just didn't understand, you know. It remains to be seen to me if he really wants to be the top dog, if he wants to win it all. I don't think it's a given just because he's Dame Lillard. He has Dame time and these great moments in NBA. That doesn't mean he wants to win more than James Harden does. You know, Harden is already a Hall of Fame player, top 75 player, MVP, former MVP. To me, I think they're both kind of neck and neck. I don't think you're getting one thing more from Dame than you are from James. Now, call that controversial, call it what you want, comment on it all you want to, but I feel like you're looking at two of the same player, quite honestly. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Now, with Dame, to me, Dame's best move, as crazy as it sounds, would be to go to Golden State, go back home to the Bay, play in front of his hometown crowd. This could be great transition from the Steph and Clay, Draymond era into the Dame era later in his career. I just see them trading for Chris Paul. The money could work. They'd be able to luxury tax anyway, which they already are. Or I could see Dame perhaps going to Miami. Somewhere in the East would be my recommendation because the East is wide open. I mean, think about it. You got the Boston Celtics. You got the 76ers. You got the Heat who kind of caught lightning in a bottle. The Bucks have come back and retooled a little bit, but they have a new coach. East is wide open, Dame. Dame, you could come over there and dominate the East. You could compete. You could go on a LeBron-like run in the East. And being with Philly could be your best option, honestly. James, it's going to be kind of interested what he does too, because James Harden's best chance to win a title, honestly, is in Philadelphia. That's his best chance. So him wanting to move around tells me something else may be going on. Maybe there's a rift between him and Embiid, or does he just want a long-term deal? I don't know. You know, who knows? But we'll see where the chips may fall as they may. But if I was both of those guys, I'd be trying to get to Golden State. Now, there's a lot of guards over there. I get that. But if anybody knows how to play that system, they do. You know, I just see if you're going to chase a ring, chase one. You know, go with the best team. So I don't think it's just a given that Dame is just above and beyond player than James Harden. I just call me crazy. I see both of the guys almost the same. I don't think one is better than the other. You know, so feel free to chime in, leave your comments about that, whatever you want to do. But before we go, let's jump into the Dallas Mavs. You know, Dallas Mavs missed the playoffs last year. We didn't talk about it much, but, you know, they did do a couple of things in free agency, starting with the draft. They drafted Derek Lively, which I thought was a good pick. They needed size. They weren't going to get size and defensive play from anyone in free agency. It's going to be too hard to do. We tried that. It only worked one time with Tyson Chandler. So drafting a center is probably the best move that they can make. They got a good one, one of the better ones in the draft. So that remains to be seen, but he's a rookie. Got to get acclimated to the league. Got to get his feet on the ground. But the Mavs do have a great development team over there that will get him up to speed as quick as possible. And good mentorship with Jason Kidd as well, too. They did re-sign Kyrie Irving, which I thought was necessary, and really on a team-friendly three-year deal. So his deal and Luka's deal kind of match up now to where we can really just see what we can do with that duo together. And I'll be real with you guys. Kyrie would not sign back with Dallas unless him and Luka had a good relationship. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Now with a deal like that, I thought the Mavs would have to go above and beyond 5 years, big money, max money to keep a player like Kyrie, but for him to take the deal that he did shows me that he wants to be here. And I think it's a mutual respect for Luka, but also for Jason Kidd. There's no way that Kyrie signs with Dallas without Jason Kidd as a head coach. As critical as I was of Kidd at the end of last year, this has probably been his best move, you know, outside of going to the Western Conference Finals. His best move of last year was, you know, solidifying his relationship with Kyrie. Because there's no way he would have came back if Kidd wasn't a coach. That's just the bottom line. We re-signed Steph Curry for a third time. I know my dad loves that. And then we bring back Dwight Powell, who is going to be a lifelong Maverick. I mean, that's just what it is. You know, he's coming back. But they still have some holes, man. I mean, I know we got Bullock, we got Hardaway, but we need a wing player. We need a 3-and-D guy. Dorian Finney-Smith would have been perfect. But we need a 3-and-D guy. We need some more help on this roster. I don't think this roster can compete with Golden State, can't compete with the Lakers, cannot compete with Denver, cannot compete with Phoenix. You know, they may not be able to compete with Memphis, with Marcus Smart. They may not be able to compete with Sacramento. So there's a lot of things they're going to have to do to get their team or their roster back in check. I mean, it's good now, but anyway, there's more moves to come. There's got to be more moves to come. I'm not satisfied with what's happened so far. But again, I reserve my right to change my opinion at any given time. All right, well, thank you guys for the show today. We appreciate everybody that called in, everybody's listening live, and we'll be back on Thursday. Enjoy your 4th of July holiday, and we'll be back Thursday night, RF Sports Radio.